You are listening to a sermon by Esther Hidsha, recorded on Sunday, October 25th, 2015, at the Point Grey Interminonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only, and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Well, it's wonderful to be here and have you. And, oh, here you're singing. Oh, my goodness. I bet every speaker says that when they come here. Anyway. So, it's great. And to come and to talk about something that I just love to talk about. Rosie and I were just talking now about, you know, do we reuse sermons? Do we bring, you know, start from scratch and everything, but I don't think I could talk without talking something about this, because this is so dear to my heart, this message of listening to your life. So yes, thanks for having me here, and I hope God blesses you with the words that God has given me for you. Well, a couple of years ago I misplaced my cell phone, which there it is. I do that a lot, you can tell. Here it is. There's my cell phone. And so we're like, where did we see it last? And so we thought, oh yeah, it was at our daughter Heidi's place. And so we drove back to her place to get it. And I was about to go inside, because I think I left it inside, and Fred says, Esther, look down. And there, behind our car, was my cell phone. We had just driven over it. And so I reached out, I picked it up, it's all scratched, you can tell. And I creaked it open, and it literally did creak. And I tried it out, and it still worked. I couldn't believe it. It must have fallen into a gravel, like in a deposit of gravel, where the gravel took the full weight of the car. And so it was protected. And I thought, okay, that is just pretty amazing that that happened. And then, so that I wouldn't forget it, the next day, my scripture reading was Psalm 62, God is our refuge and our fortress. Okay, that's interesting. The next day it was Exodus 33, 22, I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand. I'm like, okay, God, are you trying to tell me something? And then Isaiah 43, 2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And I think God is trying to tell me something in my cell phone. And I think what God is saying to me is, even if you feel like you've been run over by a car, you'll be all right. I'll be with you. That's what God was saying to me in this experience in my everyday life. Frederick Buechner once said that if he was called upon to state in a few words the essence of everything he was trying to say, both as a novelist and a preacher, it would be this: listen to your life. Listen to your life. He says, if God speaks anywhere, it is into our own personal lives that he speaks. He speaks not just through the sounds we hear, of course, but through events in all their complexity and variety, through the harmonies and disharmonies and counterpoint of all that happens. In a nutshell, Buechner is saying, listen to the experiences of your life, because God is there. God is in the heart of our lives, loving us, leading us, and speaking to us. Well, that makes our lives untapped resources of light. It makes our lives overlooked caches of glory. Wow, wow. There's glory everywhere. And it also makes our lives open libraries of the other half of our conversations with God. So we talk to God, God talks back to us in the events of our everyday lives. David prayed in Psalm 4, answer me when I call you, O my righteous God. And God did answer David in the circumstances of his everyday life. The question is, are we listening? You probably know this hymn, "This is my Father's world. In the rustling grass I hear him pass." Do you know what the next line is?
He speaks to me everywhere.
Right? Everywhere and always God is speaking to us. In the wonder of a sunset. In a conversation with a friend. In our disappointments. In our joy. Even in a cell phone that's been run over by a car. But you may be thinking, oh, come on, how do you know we're not just reading too much into everything? And these things, you know, don't they just happen by chance? Well, Buechner writes about this. He says, the question is not whether the things that happen to you are chance things or God's things, because, of course, they are both at once. There is no chance thing through which God cannot speak. Even the walk from the house to the garage, you have walked 10,000 times before. Even the moments when you cannot believe there is a God who speaks at all. He speaks, I believe, and the words he speaks are incarnate in the flesh and blood of ourselves and our own footsore and sacred journeys. Have you thought about your journey as being sacred? Christians throughout the centuries have been paying attention to their lives and listening to what God might be saying in it. In the 16th century, Ignatius of Loyola formalized this practice and called it the prayer of examine. And you have in your bulletin at the back the process of how to go through the prayer of examine. Ignatius, when he taught the Ignatian exercises, that was his big book, that was his life's work. And it led people through the Ignatian exercises. He said, if you forsake any other prayers and you don't have time for them, always do your examine. And so it was a way of looking back on your day and going, where was God and how can I listen to him? So I put that in there so you can take that home and then go through it and practice it, because I'm not going to go through it formally with you. I'll just leave that with you. But in essence, what it does is involves sitting with God, reflecting on our day, paying attention to what we noticed in it, and inviting the Holy Spirit to help us hear what God might have to say to us about it and what's going on in that. Ignatius knew that listening with God to our everyday experiences would inevitably lead us to finding God alive and interacting with us in all of it. So what goes on for you when you think about listening to your life? Just take a moment and think, what's going on for you right now? What are you feeling? As you think about listening to your life, perhaps you feel hopeful. You go, wow, God's out there. God's talking to me. There's something going on. There's an interaction between us. Perhaps you feel overwhelmed. Oh my goodness, like something happens every second. How can I possibly take all that in? Maybe you feel a bit cynical. Buechner goes on to say, we cannot live our lives constantly looking back, listening back, lest we be turned into pillars of longing and regret. Thought I got that right. But to live without listening at all is to live deaf to the fullness of the music. Sometimes we avoid listening for fear of what we may hear. Sometimes for fear that we may hear nothing at all but the empty rattle of our feet on the pavement. Sometimes we avoid listening, Buechner says, because we're afraid God might not say anything to us, but they're only the rattle of our feet on the pavement. You know what? That's like, okay, God, I'm waiting. Is God going to speak to me at all? And so sometimes, rather than be disappointed, we just don't ask, right? Or maybe it's because we're afraid of what God might say. I'm in trouble. Maybe I'm going to find out what I'm doing God doesn't want me to do. Do I really want to know that? Maybe not. So it's what it is that keeps us from listening? Fear. Fear keeps us from listening. And what does God have to say about that? Fear, behold, I am with you always. You don't have to be afraid. Fear not is probably something that's said most often in Scripture. And Jesus says, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. There, you know where that comes from after the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus says, that Jesus wants to give us the kingdom. How is that kingdom going to come? It comes from listening and paying attention to, wow, the kingdom's coming there. Look what God's doing there. Paying attention. So to hear the good news, God will be with us in the process of listening to our lives. God enjoys giving us the kingdom. And so we can expect God to deliver it, right? In our everyday lives, in the moments that we experience. Okay, so how do we do this thing? How do we do it? And of course, you've got the instructions there, and I don't want you to look at them now, because I'm not going to go through them step by step. I'm going to kind of talk about it generally, about what it's like to just listen to your life. How do we take an event like losing a cell phone or an experience of feeling deeply disappointed and then ferret out what God might be saying to us? So I'm going to start by saying three things that we don't want to do. And they all have to do with making assumptions. And the first assumption we don't want to make is that we already know what God is going to say. So if something good's happening, oh, I must be doing something right. If bad things are happening, oh, I'm doing something wrong. But the story of Job tells us that's not always true. Job wasn't doing anything wrong, and God was doing something completely different. So we don't assume that when something happens, we know what God is saying. We need to do what we do in every relationship. We need to ask, God, what are you saying in this? Because, and not only do we want to do that to know what God is saying, but because if we just assume, then we miss the point. Because the whole point of paying attention is to invite God into our lives to be more aware of God. So we don't want to just get the message and learn to live without God and learn to function without God. So we want to not assume we know, but ask. And the second assumption that we need to not make, a double negative there, is that God is all, that we're doing something wrong. Often we're, like Buechner says, we're afraid to listen to God because we're going to find out we're doing something wrong. Don't make me come down there. Right? And then we think of rest for a minute and remember, who is God? Who is God? But love loving. God is love. God, whatever God wants to say to us is a loving message. The third assumption that we often make is that God is trying to teach us something. When I lead people through spiritual direction, they come and talk about their lives, and I say, so what sense do you get of what God is saying in this? And I often hear people say, well, I think God wants to teach me this. And then I kind of groan inwardly, because I think, oh, is that the only category we give God? What do you want to teach me? Well, think about it for a minute. Think of any relationship you have in your life. A spouse, a really good friend. What if the only time they want to talk to you is when they want to teach you something? How would you feel? They're up there, well, I know how it works, and you certainly don't. Distance, right? And they're always superior, and you're always feeling inadequate and inferior. So, a relationship in which God is only our teacher does not foster intimacy. Now, Jesus is our teacher, and we do need to learn from him, and that is important. But Jesus is also our friend, our brother, our husband, because we are the church, the bride of Christ. So let's entertain the idea that sometimes, in fact, most of the time, Jesus isn't interested in teaching us anything. Maybe Jesus just wants to enjoy our company, express a delight, or show us a wonder. I can imagine Jesus sitting next to us going, did you hear that? That is so wonderful. So with a broader view of what Jesus might have to say to us, let's look at the story of the calming of the sea and listen to the lives of the disciples that day. Imagine the disciples doing an examine about the day that they were in the boat with Jesus. So the disciples follow Jesus into the boat. So far, so good. He's God. What could go wrong? Yeah, right. So as if to validate that everything's fine, Jesus goes to sleep on a pillow. A storm comes up and the disciples freak out. As Anthony Bloom puts it in his book, Beginning to Pray, the storm that was raging outside of them is now raging inside of them. They are panicked. We are going to die. And so they wake Jesus up and they say, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Jesus is clearly not impressed with their reaction to the storm. He rebukes the disciples for their lack of faith after he tells the storm to pipe down. And then there is a great calm. In the English Standard Version, it describes it as a great calm. I like that. So what do we make of the disciples' experience? What would they be thinking about as they sat with God and did an examine on it? Is the point, and of course we think about it first, because that's the way we are. That's not part of the examine, but we go there. Let's just admit it. So we think about the story and say, what's the point of the story? That God is asleep and we need to wake him up or we're going to die? If that were true, then the disciples would have, then Jesus would have thought, "Hey guys, thanks for waking me up. We would have been real big trouble if you hadn't woken me up." No, that wasn't it. So what then, if they were supposed to just be calm in the storm and the point was just to have faith, well, why did Jesus bother calming the storm? Why didn't he just go, "Hey, we'll weather this together. We'll be fine. Trust me. Even if we die, we're going to heaven." You know? No, he calmed the storm. So then you think, well, why did Jesus do that? And of course, the bigger picture in the book of Mark is that Jesus wanted them to know that he was God. Who is this that calms the storm? He's God. That's a big, big point. But there's also other reasons why Jesus calmed the storm. And perhaps, as the disciples sat quietly thinking about why Jesus did that, I can imagine Jesus sort of pointing them in this direction like he did to Anthony Bloom. Jesus wanted the disciples to have faith and trust in him. And maybe the disciples had no clue what that looked like. I want them to have faith in me, but oh my goodness, these guys, they just have no idea. You could be looking at me when he's talking about that. Maybe they had no idea what it looked like or felt like to be calm. And so he showed them. In a way, he said, "See, this roaring wind, these threatening fears, that's what's inside you. Now, see this calm, this great calm? Feel it? What it's like now? Storms pass, nice little ripples. That's what's inside me. Storm, calm, inside you, inside me. Now, where do you want to live?" So that's the kind of thing that can happen as we take our lives to Jesus and sit with him. And this is the kind of message we want to open our lives to hear from God. Because we never know what God's going to say about our life. So what do we do? Well, the first thing is notice what you notice. When I look back at my day, I look at what stands out. And what stands out will often have a strong emotion attached to it. A sunset stands out because of a feeling of wonder. An argument grabs our attention because we feel hurt or guilty or dismissed. Ignatius said he learned far more from his feelings than he ever did from his thoughts. So I'm going to give you an example of something that happened to me. I had a conversation with someone. I was staying in their house, and I saw from the look on her face that I had upset her or she was angry with me, and I'm in her house, right? Well, I spent a fitful night. So that's what stood out, and that's what we'll go through sort of an examine on. So I noticed what I noticed, that this was bothering me. So then the second thing to do is to ask, how is God loving me in this? How is God loving me in this? And that would be good if that was the question I remembered at the time, but it wasn't. What I did was I wanted to fix it. So usually when we have a feeling, we want to fix it, right? So I'm going, oh, I don't like the way I feel. I don't like it at all. So what did I do to fix it? I told myself, Esther, don't be so silly. You're oversensitive. That didn't work. Distract myself. That didn't work either. So then I want to fix the situation. Okay, what did I do wrong? So I won't do it again. And then I'll know it. I'll apologize. And then everything will be fine. Notice that I tried to fix it. I didn't ask that question. God, how are you loving me in this? Because sometimes when we want to get rid of the problem, that's the very thing God wants to work in. And so the next thing is to enter the great calm, to sit with God and just like stop trying to figure it all out. Okay, God, what's going on? So sitting quietly in God's presence, I assumed God was trying to teach me that I spoke too quickly or I wasn't sensitive enough. But as I sat there, I realized God was not interested in giving me a report card. God was not interested in any of that. As I sat there quietly, he reminded me of the cell phone. And as I thought about the story of the calming of the sea, the question that came to me is, what are you afraid of? So there I am in that situation with my friend, and God's asking, what are you afraid of? And then when I thought about that situation, I knew instantly what I was afraid of and why. When I was a child, I'm one of five kids, I was picked on for any number of reasons. And I always wanted to know what I'd done wrong so I wouldn't get picked on. And then my siblings would like me. So the way to be safe in my house was to figure out what not to do and don't do that. And find out what to do and do that. And then you'll be safe. And I saw that and I'm like, oh my goodness. And it was like Jesus was saying, you don't need to do that anymore. I'm your safe. Jesus wasn't interested in making sure I got it right with my friend. He wasn't interested in teaching me how to be more sensitive. Jesus wanted me to know, I want you to pay attention to how uncomfortable you are, because that is not how I want you to live. I want you to know that I'm your safe place. So that gives you an idea of how we sit before God, and you never know what God is going to do. And then the next part, as we sit with God, is to respond and thank God. And respond back to God, wow, God, thank you. Help me to live in this safe place. Help me to take that in. So as you go in your life to pay attention to what's going on and open those books and the libraries of your everyday life, notice what you notice. If you want to go one motto that will take you through, notice what you notice, what stands out to you. And then ask God, how are you loving me in this? And enter the great calm. Because when we're like ping-pinging around and our brain's going a million directions and we're trying to figure it out because we just don't like feeling the way we're feeling, it's hard to listen to God. We need to come down into that space of calm. And let God speak to our hearts. And then we can respond back to God out of that. Jesus said, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom.